thankful for the ministry of our camp director, Phil Betts. Really appreciate over the years just the philosophy of camp that he brings to our camp, that is really is our camp, as it is owned and controlled by our churches, and they exist to serve us, and he really gets that philosophy, and I appreciate as God is blessed up there. You go up, you see the new buildings and things, but the building is just the stuff. It's the people and that are what make it valuable. And men like Phil and Dave, as they work together, personally, and seeing the value of that, even in my own kids, is, you know, the discipleship investment. So encourage you to think about camp. If you've never gone to camp, we encourage you as a church to go. We provide 50% of the cost to go. And I look forward to his ministry here today. So, thank you.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you so much. I get rolling, and I am reminded every once in a while, and Scott Kern helped me to remember that not everybody knows what a Jensen is. And so, let me just give a short brief thing about the camp. So, this is the Iowa Regular Baptist Camp. We have 52 acres on the north shore of Clear Lake. This was last fall, there was a group there, and they have a drone, had a drone, and it was kind of foggy, it was just like a really cool picture. So anyway, this, the building right in the middle is Jensen Dining Hall. And so that was built, the camp started in 1950 with 52 acres, and they purchased the property for $100,000, which is nutso, but it was a lot of money back then. And then they built that building, which was far bigger than what they actually needed at the time. And I'm grateful because our dining hall really hasn't changed a lot. It probably smells the same. It has the same tables, all that. But we are so grateful. And the basement was what they called the tabernacle. That's where the chapel was. Since been moved to a different building, the chapel, and the basement is now where we do a lot of our winter stuff. It's called the Cove. And so anyway, you don't have to remember any of that other than just to say we are grateful for what God has done for almost 75 years as we to get to serve the Lord together. And so that's just a little bit of a overview. But we want to partner with your church. And just got to meet Paige over here. And, oh, sorry, dude. But Paige is from a church down in Pella, and they actually, a couple of years ago, started partnering with us. And so they actually have some counselors who come up and things like that. So we have over 100 churches who actually either own the camp or partner with us. And so grateful for the opportunity we get to have. And you have been such an encouragement over the years. Since I look around, I could just start telling stories about the GoPad, the red golf cart, or whatever it is that just brings a smile to my face. All the different people who get involved in so many different ways. And so thank you for that. Here is Senior High Camp in 1 minute if you've never been to IRBC. This will be 528 Senior High Campers this last year, 100 counselors, plus over 75 staff, so you do the math, and that's over 700 people during the week of Senior High Camp that are just having a great time. I just saw that picture. We just bought that fire truck for $1,000, or maybe it's $500, from the city of Ventura, and all kinds of amazing stories, but we just love the fun, the excitement of what happens up there. But really, it comes down to, as your pastor was saying, time around the Word. There's a lot of fun things and unique things you do. I mean, what do you do with 500 teenagers? Except pull your hair out, right? But we have a staff that just loves ministering and serving together and having a great impact. We got some great speakers this summer that are going to be, whether it's youth camps, family camps, kind of a cool thing for Senior High Camp. Josh Daggett is coming back to speak. Guys, passionate about planting churches. Is doing that on the south side of Des Moines. Sees many people come to Christ. Teaming up with him is John Leonard, coming back from Brazil. If you don't know John's story, he's actually wheelchair bound, was shot, should be dead physically or humanly speaking, excuse me. But God has saw fit to save him, and he's coming back to challenge our young people in the area of missions. We have great speakers all summer long. There's brochures. It's family camp and youth camp brochure combined. Love for you to look through that. Page 13 has the calendar all laid out for you. So we'd love to visit with you and talk to you about the camp. Just a couple things. I'm not going to do our whole Sunday school presentation, but the big part of camp is just that relationship bonding. And actually, it ties in really well with what we're going to be talking about today in Romans chapter 12. But that cabin and that counselor, that's a huge, huge, huge part of the makeup and the key to what makes camp very successful. Really good counselors who love to communicate the truth of God's Word, not just what they think or just give life experience, but be able to take God's Word and help their young people understand it. But being able to work through that, love meeting and working with young people from around the state of Iowa, even outside the state of Iowa. And so there's some opportunities that way. But counselor training's coming up and excited about that. We mentioned father, son, mother, daughter. I'm not sure if I have that slide, but we have senior retreat, men's and women's retreats up at the camp that allow your church people to just come up and spend time together on a probably not the most comfortable bed you've ever slept on in your life. But we got some really good food, and the fellowship is out of this world. And so we love the opportunity to allow you to continue to grow in Christ together. I just was, I don't know if you paid attention to the words and the songs as you were singing today. Those nailed it. And that's what we as a body are supposed to be doing. And so, oh, there you go. Mother-daughter retreat, father-son coming up. You can actually register online for those events. And is that the end of my show? Oh, there we go. Family camp, there we go. One of the things that we love about the ministry of our camp, we ministered this last year to 1,850 youth campers and over 2,000 family campers. When you start adding up all those kids, I mean, there's many times over 200 kids at camp just during family camp. And we have an opportunity partnering with Faith Baptist Bible College to teach them in the morning and allow you to have an amazing, amazing week together investing in this next generation. And so lots and lots of fun. And I love that picture, Vicky, up there. Working with those girls, and what a privilege it is to be able to serve and partner together. We'll just leave that up there. I don't think I have any more slides. But what I'd like to do, I can't remember if it's Aubrey or somebody, Jenica was helping hand out some of these sheets here. If you still need one, could you just raise your hand and they'll bring one around to you. But you can also just, I did not take time to fold these, so you got the body on the front and the body on the back. And this is actually something that we did this summer. And so I thought today what we would do is we're going to be focusing on the church, but also help you understand when we teach and train at the camp, we're teaching and training about the ministry of the local church. And the camp is just a little bit of a microcosm of what happens. It actually is a lot of the body of Christ that comes together to serve. And it's an awesome thing. The John 13, 34 and 35 were our key verses for our staff that we memorized. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. I love this phrase, but by this, all people will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. The community of Dysart, Iowa will know about Jesus Christ and His love because of your love for one another. how you work together, which is huge, how you treat one another, how you speak to one another, and how you serve together, whether it's in the body or whether it's in this community. People will know. And they'll know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing. And so those were our key verses for this summer. And so what I'm going to do is tackle all of Romans 12, which seems a little bit daunting. I mean, it took a while just for a brother just to read the 21 verses. So let me put it this way. We're not going to exegete and pick apart every little thing. I'd say get in the weeds, but the Bible's not weeds, right? So, but we're not going to get that deep. But what we're going to do is do more of a big picture, okay? So you can tell a lot about it when you dig in and you're diving in and you're picking apart every verse. What does it really mean? But you also can learn a lot when you look at the big picture. There's things that you can tell about the camp that you would never know unless you saw everything that was happening there. That's just, so what we're going to do is try to give a big overview of Romans chapter 12. And we'll tackle that, and we might skip through a few things, but you have most of it there in front of you. But just to help you out here, I actually have the scripture here, just for the sake of moving forward. And so one of the things that we did this last summer is we have staff devotions every day, and we were going through a couple of verses in Romans 12, and I said, let's just park here for the week. And so this is actually something that we spent the whole week doing with our part-time staff and our in the morning, and we had some different focuses each day. So let me read the couple verses there again. This is in the ESV, so it might be just a tiny bit different, but the same scripture. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so you can see the phrase that we use, this leadership and followership, Romans 12. I'm actually just kind of focused on what we have on that front page, which would be ministering and serving interdependently. I don't know if that actually passes, or if it's got squiggly lines. I didn't even know if it's a real word, but we'll just say it is for today if it's not. Interdependently. We are ministering and serving together, but we're dependent on one another as we do this. And so to start off with, we actually need to take care of our own heart, right? If we're going to serve well together, our hearts need to be right. And so the first one is grow in your personal walk. You're constantly growing. Nobody in this congregation has arrived, okay? And you won't. Jean, she's over 100, 101. She's getting there, okay? She's still young. But she's not arrived. Even though she's lived a long life, none of us are going to arrive. We need to constantly be growing. This last week, I had steps of growth I needed to take. I actually went to my program guy, and I said I was wrong. Has anybody else had that problem? But it was a growing experience for me. I had to seek out my brother. It wasn't like a vicious, sinful thing that I did on purpose. It was oversight, and I'm supposed to be handing stuff off, and I keep doing what I'm supposed to be handing off, and so I just. It was a growing experience in my leadership and even how we work and talk together. We need to constantly be doing this. And so it's, as we read those verses, it's daily renewing your mind by spending time with the Father. This is about relationships with the body. Well, it starts with your relationship with the Father. I personally don't use the phrase, do your quiet time or your daily devotions or something. What I like to do is just communicate what my heart desires to be. And so the way I personally talk about it is my personal time with the Lord, because I want to grow that relationship. And if I'm just checking off, I did my Bible reading for the day, for me personally, that just becomes a habit, a good habit. But I really want it to be about the relationship with the Lord. And so I want to grow closer to my Heavenly Father, and He desires that for me. So daily renewing my mind by spending time with the Father. And secondly, as we looked at our camp staff, dedicate this summer a living sacrifice. And so we, when we have our college students come in, they're working some for 13 weeks, some for 11 weeks. But what we say is we are committed to serving well together this summer. There's other things that are happening. There's boyfriends out there. There's girlfriends someplace else. But this summer, here's what we're doing. And we love taking the opportunity to learn and grow and serve together. But it's dedicating for us a camp. But as we, as many of you have joined this church and come together as members, what you're doing is you're saying, we are coming to serve the Lord God, Jesus Christ, but we're going to do it together. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? Smile if you agree with me. Oh man, I feel so much better now. All right? Most everybody agrees with me, or the scripture actually, right? And so dedicating to serving our Lord and Savior, but doing it together. Like I said, this is an overview. So verse number 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgments, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So we just say, know your place. Know your place. Knowing by understanding and discerning what the will of God is, going back to verse 2, what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Some of you have played on a team, and this is like March Madness time, so you got to forgive this dude here, okay? I've watched a few games. My son just graduated, played 4 years at UNI, so he's not playing this year. I'm in a little bit of a withdrawal, okay? But so I'm watching with James, and he's actually helping me understand basketball better again. We're watching a few games, but everybody can't shoot the three-pointer. Everybody shouldn't shoot the three-pointer. Not everybody can play defense and guard the best player. We each have our place. And sometimes it might even be on the bench. And I just know from just watching James the last 4 years, he spent the first 3 years mostly on the bench. But do you think James didn't really do anything for those first 3 years for the team? I'll tell you what. He had to work like crazy just to be on the team, but he made everybody who was ahead of him better. When I think about the body of Christ, it's so easy to think about, well, if I could do that, or how come they get to do this and I don't, or whatever it is. We each must know our place. We're going to talk about the body, and it'll be even more clear. But each knowing our place, that's actually what God has called us to do. God just wants us to be faithful where He's called us. Always growing, always learning, always getting stretched. You say, I don't have the gift of giving, so I'm not going to give. No, that's not what it's saying. It's we are here to, but if God has gifted you that way, generously, and man, what an amazing thing that is. And so, as we go on, know your place. Number 3, function as a body. And we read through that portion. There's other portions in Corinthians and maybe Ephesians. My mind's blanking out here. But thinking about the body as you serve together. I was thinking about this community. how many of you have read the book Johnny Tractor and His Pals? Just a couple. Okay. Man, I had your name. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. It'll come to me. But Johnny Tractor and his friends. So Johnny Tractor is a John Deere tractor, and he thinks he is big stuff. Okay? And he doesn't need Danny Drill. He doesn't need Harry Harrow. He doesn't need Perry Plow, Chucky Cultivator. I texted my wife and asked her for the names this morning. All right, and there's some others. There's probably a combine in there too. I don't know. But Johnny thought he was all big and high and mighty, and so they basically went on strike or something like that. I don't know if that's how the book went, but they basically say, go do it yourself. And he's like, I can't. I need the bot. And they're like, Johnny, you're really important, but we all need to be working together. So that's the body, the picture of the body. So one of the things that I'm going to encourage you to do is take time, not necessarily right now, but if you want to, that's up to you. Just thinking about where do I fit in the body, as using that as a picture. You know, some of us are the mouth. Some of us prefer to not be the mouth. Anybody in that book, that camp? Some of you are like, yeah, I see that hand. That's not where you feel gifted or desire to be involved, but you love being behind the scenes. That's my Grandma Frieda, Frieda Betts. She wasn't up front, but when it came to church work days and stuff, she made sure that closet was amazing. And found out about so many things. You look at a Dean Button and all these people, it's like, God's gifted you in all these different ways, but how are you willing to be used? And whatever God has called you to do, we need to do it well. What happens when part of the body goes down? Well, my wife actually was going to be here today. My wife Barb and Silas. I'm kind of bummed, but that's the way God directed. I went to a funeral yesterday, came over from Marshalltown over here. So she was going to come up yesterday after she got off work. She actually works at the Mason City Airport. They have two flights a day, in the morning and the evening. It's a good deal. We get to fly standby. It's pretty awesome. She gets to go to France for free and things like that to see our missionary son over there. So there's some cool things. But, so yesterday she's supposed to, that one flight a day, or only one flight actually goes on Saturdays. And so she works, she goes in at 7. She's usually home at 10. It's pretty good gig. But yesterday there was a problem. And I'm reading this so I don't mess it up. But they have a plane. It's a Bombardier CRJ-200. Sticker price, $24 million. 50 seats, okay? I mean, we've upgraded at Mason City Airport. 50 seats. And but they didn't go out yesterday. And as the day went on, it's like, after a while, it's like, Barb, you're actually not going to come here tomorrow or tonight, are you? And it's like, no. So what was the problem? It probably, I don't know what the price tag on the piece. Everything's pretty expensive, right? But she said it was a valve in the APU. I said, what's an APU? An auxiliary power unit. It's back in the tail fin or something. I don't know. But it was leaking fuel. So a valve needed to be replaced or fixed or something. It doesn't matter. I'll never understand it, and I don't care that much. But I do know I do not want to get on that plane. If the valve and in the APU, it's leaking fuel, I don't want to get on that plane. Do you? No! $24 million, let's just say it's $5,000. I have no idea how much this part costs and labor or whatever. So it finally, they flew in another plane, and the long story short, they got them off at like 7 p.m. or something like that. So she didn't come. But in the grand scheme of things, it's a really small part, but it's vital. Here's the point. You're like, my part isn't that important here at Calvary Baptist Church. It is. We each must do our part, whatever that is. And that's where the body of Christ comes together. And you actually, not like a plane, because it's not like that, but the body actually takes care of itself. And it comes together. And I'd love to tell you all the things I read about skin this last week. That's really cool about how important it is, but we don't have time for that. But it's actually the largest organ of your body, the skin. It weighs between 7 and 20 pounds, probably depending on your body type, I guess. I don't know. I never knew that, but you think about the protection, you think about the nerves that are in your skin, you think about all these different things and how vital it is, but we don't even think about our skin until we get a bad sunburn, right? Then we do. We don't think about our toe that much until we stub it. And then it actually, all the attention goes there. When part of the body is hurting, when we lose somebody, when somebody's going through a heartache, when somebody's rejoicing, they just had a child or whatever, we can come together, we can encourage, but we also, as we're going through life together as a body, everything that happens affects another. If it doesn't, it's because maybe you're not involved. And since I think about the body of Christ, what a beautiful picture. And I encourage you to do your part. Skipping ahead, and I think we can hit some more of these verses. Let love be genuine, verse number 9. So number 4 is love like Jesus Christ. As we read that first verse in John 13, 34 and 35 on the other side of the sheet, that's one of the most amazing compliments that you can have, is you love like Jesus Christ. You love the body like Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. Number 5, verse 10 says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. So number 5, give preference to others. Sacrificial love. A genuine care. It means you're slowing down, you're listening, you're observing what's going on in other people's lives. We love to talk about the weather, I assume, here in farmland, but we also love to talk about how busy we are and how we just don't have time for this or that. But you know what? The body, it loves and it takes care, and it actually is observing and taking notice of when people are hurting. I'll be very general, but there's a situation at my home church, a family part of our growth group, and they had a tremendous hurt that nobody else knew about. They actually needed to share what that hurt was so that others could minister to them. And it's been about an 8 or 9 month process, but we're getting on the other side. So Barb and I, we sat down with the couple and the family, and this last week, and it's like the body actually did its job. It took care of them. It helped them when they were hurting. They didn't even know the help that they needed. They didn't know how to express it, but the body came together. It was so awesome. It's an ongoing story. But we're all better for it. Even though it was a rough patch for those months, God is using it for His glory. And I just say thank you, Lord. Verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So that number 6 is, I put my attitude, this is camp, towards cleaning. The little things, the dirty jobs, the less appealing jobs. First thing on my job description, I don't know if this is, let's see, page. First thing on your job description is to clean toilets. Okay? I just want you to know that right up front. She's trying out this summer. And, you think, I want to come work at camp. That's the first thing on my job description too. I just want you to know that. And, someday it doesn't make sense for the camp director to clean all the toilets, because I have to hire people. I have to do some things that you can't do, okay? So if I'm not cleaning toilets, it's not because I don't think I'm above that. I love actually taking time to just stop and do some of those dirty jobs. But each one of us need to, as we go what is our heart attitude? It's like, man, I can't believe so-and-so didn't do this, and you start griping and whining, complaining about somebody else, or are you just thinking about, God has given me some hands to clean and a heart that desires to serve the Lord Christ, and I get to bless campers today, and I actually hope nobody even knows that I did it. What's my heart attitude as I go about this? Am I doing it with zeal? Am I doing it out of guilt? How am I serving together as a body? And so this is important, my attitude. Number 7, 12, 13, and 15. Let me hit on those. Rejoicing in hope, be patient in tribulation, constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and show hospitality. Many of you have that gift. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We got to do that this last week. So number 7 is uplifting those around me. I just jotted down, you can pick your own bullet points here. I just jotted down some things that I saw in that. Do I offer hope? Am I offering hope? And so ultimately you're pointing people to Christ, right? But am I doing it through both my words and my actions? Am I offering hope? That's what I want to do. I really believe that God wants to use the body of Christ right here to offer hope to one another. We've all are going to face times in our life where we're just struggling. We're hurting. We got the C word, cancer, that pops up. We've got a loss of a job. We've got all, you name it, outside, but also it can happen within the body as we're dealing and working through areas of sin. Do I offer hope? Am I patient during those rough times? Maybe somebody else is going through a rough time. Am I just pointing a finger? Say they need to get their act together. Am I walking through in patience and the grace that God talks about in this passage? I appreciate your emphasis on prayer this morning, Pastor. Am I praying? Am I encouraging? Am I uplifting? I go through camp pictures trying to find, Who is it that, is it Eliana? Is that the one who had all the pictures? Yes. But as I'm going through, I saw a couple pictures. I saw one picture of a family of a young man who is just really hurting. He's struggling. He's rebelling. It's a long, involved story. But as I went through that, I just stopped. I was able to pray for that family, sent them a note. And they responded, we can't wait to come back to family camp. As you're thinking, as God brings people to your mind, maybe it's taking time to stop and to pray. Maybe it's you're making something and bringing a meal. Maybe it's you're just stopping, taking them out for coffee or whatever you do around here. But minister to the body, both inside and outside. What a privilege we have. The Lord has called us to do this, and I'm so thankful for those things. Taking time. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. So I just put down, don't think I can do better. That happens a lot at camp. You got a lot of different jobs, and you got activity people who think the cook should be doing this, and you got cooks who think the office should be doing this, and you got maintenance people who are like, I can't believe the activity people are doing this again. This is going to break, and it's going to be more work for us. And you can see the vicious circle that could go on at our place, right? But we just keep in mind that we're supposed to do what God has called us to do. What we're supposed to do, but don't be thinking I can do somebody else's job better. So as we're going through this, what does God call me to do? And may I be faithful, and may I help others do better in what they're doing. Maybe they aren't, haven't got it all figured out. Neither do we? No, we don't. Verse number 9, as we're wrapping up, respond right when wronged. Respond right when wronged. My first thought when somebody wrongs me is to lash out, to get sarcastic, to put them in their place. Anybody else like that? Yep, we all have those times. It can happen within our own family, right? Sure, I didn't mean to cause anything right there. But is my goal to put somebody in their place, or is my goal restoration of a relationship? With our camp staff, we got 11 weeks. Are we going to major on something that is very insignificant, or are we going to put that to rest so that we can use this for God's glory for this summer as we work together? One of our staff years ago put it this way: I want to keep short accounts as far as my relationship and making corrections, but also on this level. We don't have time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I want to take every opportunity that I have, if I'm a member of this local body, as we're serving the Lord Christ together. It's a privilege. We get to serve Jesus Christ together, and He has saw fit to bring this group of people to minister in this community. Lord willing, to see that ministry grow and expand in the hearts and lives of people as they come to Christ. That's my prayer for your church. You know better how to pray for our staff now. We're basically in an incubator. It's like you're just growing. It's exponentially, because you have all kinds of pressure when you're serving 90,000 meals during the summer, right? And it gets hot in there, sometimes over north of 100. And so we have all kinds of opportunities to do well and also to fail. I want to serve the Lord Christ with all my days. How about you? 101 or whatever your number is. Let me pray for you. Father, it is a privilege, as we've said, to be able to serve you. But even greater, we get to serve together. And forgive us when we get our minds and our eyes just fixed on what is going to work out for me. Help us to think of the body as we serve well together. May you do a great work. If there's changes that need to even happen in personal lives here at Dysart, I pray that even today, you'll allow your Holy Spirit to bring about change in our hearts and lives. In Christ's name, amen.